escape to Ocean City, Maryland, and discover a place that just feels lighter, where every day feels like Saturday and French fries are a food group, where flip-flops are always in fashion and seafood is always in season, where the boardwalk is bustling and the beach is right outside your door, where you can rise with the tide and feel like a kid again. Ocean City, Maryland, somewhere to smile about. Book your trip at OCOcean.com.
Hey there, Brenda.
It's Carol.
Exactly. So which leg are we operating on?
You mean arm.
It's all connected.
Asking the right question can greatly impact your future.
Are you sure you're an orthopedist?
Actually, I'm a Sagittarius.
Especially when it comes to your finances.
Do you have a question?
Are you a certified financial planner?
Yes, I'm a CFP professional.
CFP professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's gotta be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
We drink tequila. We talk.
Welcome to Team Tequila Talks.
Okay, let's cheers.
Yeah. Adrenaline.
Adrenal.
Okay. It is yum.
It kind of tastes tropical, but not heavy. So it doesn't taste like a pina colada.
But it gives you the vibe of a pina colada.
Yeah, I feel like this is a very summery cocktail. I know it's not summer right now, but this feels summery. We decided to go for not a summer cocktail, but an adrenal cocktail. Everybody, welcome to Team Tequila Talks. Your host, Cassandra Gina Mel and Sherion Gonzalez. And we are drinking an adrenal cocktail.
And for those like adrenals that apparently affects us all, even if we don't know it.
Well, what is an adrenal? An adrenal is your endocrine system. These are your hormones. This is going to be your pancreas and your thyroid and all of these tiny organs that you don't really talk about a ton, but are essential to tell you when to wake up, when to eat, when to go to sleep, when to run away from a lion chasing you in the wilds. That doesn't happen that often. Yeah. What would be the equivalent? Like a murderous psycho.
Yeah, like a psycho that tells you to wake up. That thing tells you to wake up.
Michael Myers.
Yeah. I feel like we don't think about adrenals. And I used to do everything except that, what basically this drink is giving you. I'd be like, oh, I'm fatigued. It must be time for, you know, I would go the opposite way, coffee, you know, and not really. Why am I always fatigued at like 1 p.m.? Or why am I waking up at 4 a.m. and I can't stay asleep all night? And it's like these things. And what I do before I go to bed now is I have orange juice and
Before bed.
Yep. Or no, and with electrolyte in it. Cause I do a 4 a.m. wake up. Oof. No matter if I'm drinking or not. And my girl told me, oh, those are your adrenals.
Well, those are your adrenals.
Like my blood sugar is messed up.
A lot of times I'll wake up to pee, even though like,
it's like a twinkle.
Do I have to pee? Yes. Could I have waited another hour or two? 100%.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's cortisol.
Yeah.
As well, which is a hormone, which is your adrenals. So what are we drinking, Sherry?
We are drinking an adrenal cocktail. It has coconut water, light coconut milk, cream of tartar,
which is not a cream. It's a misnomer.
Cream of tartar.
Who came up with that?
Pinch of salt. I feel like it's British. They call things like that. That's not really that.
You're thinking of tartar sauce, like fish and chips.
Oh, darn. We'll just give it to the British. Pinch of salt and some collagen powder.
So I don't really taste like cream of tartar. I don't really know what it tastes like on its own, but I feel like it's like baking soda, right?
I've never ever tasted. I've only cooked with it ever. Mm-hmm. We probably should have tasted it, but it made it very frothy and it's this pretty color. Basically, this drink is supposed to taste like a creamsicle.
The collagen made it frothy as well.
Yeah.
So the collagen doesn't really taste like anything. Mm. This is not like collagen peptides. This is marine collagen. And so the kind that I get is super clean. Love it. It doesn't really taste like much. It can be a little sticky. But it doesn't taste like anything. So it does, you can mix it into just about anything, even like a soup.
Yep.
But it is from, I think it's from fish scales. It's called True Marine Collagen.
Oh, and
it is from.
That's the good stuff.
Right. So it's not vegan, but it's a pescatarian. Mm. So it is supposed to be for people that like don't want to get their collagen from a cow's femur, which I mean, I don't mind personally,
yeah,
but this is just, it's supposed to make it more bioavailable. So you absorb more of it.
More
as
of
well,
it. Okay.
In theory.
That makes sense. Yeah. I mean, you're getting probably the whoop bam mam in this. It's like everything you need.
Did you say
for
whoop bam mam?
It's like, for me, this is a hot summer day drink for sure. Yeah. I would definitely take this. Like if I was on vacation, I would bring some collagen powder and some of this in my purse so that I can make this for myself.
Travel packs. I will say that this is, you don't taste a ton of the tequila. Now, granted, we used like lovely, smooth, nice tequila.
Yeah.
But it, I think that because you have a lot going on with the orange and the coconut cream, we use light coconut.
We use light coconut cream, and the coconut cream is giving you the balancing of the blood sugar, which we all need. The magnesium powder is provided by the collagen. We get some of those electrolytes from, I guess, the sea salt adds in more salt, like an electrolyte.
Well, yeah, even if you put sea salt in your water in the morning, drink that boom, magic mineral water.
Yeah.
Right? That's just by putting sea salt, dead sea salt, Celtic sea salt, whatever. Mm-hmm. Just by adding that to your water in the morning, you are instantly making the water more, again, bioavailable, and you're going to absorb more of those electrolytes and minerals, and it's going to make you more hydrated. And it's interesting because so many people have demonized salt in the 80s and 90s, right?
Well, because the overuse of salt.
Chemically treated, processed, iodized table salt.
And I should say, we are not using table salt. We are using pink Himalayan salt,
which is freshly ground. And when you freshly grind it, it just releases all of those minerals and electrolytes.
Right. And I think a lot of people don't get potassium and mag in there. And we're getting the potassium from the cream of tartar. And I do think I take a CalMag pill every night. Calcium, magnesium, potassium pill for your heart health, for your bone health, all the things. And I do think because my magnesium, for whatever reason, is always low.
That's a genetic thing. So you can get your 23andMe, your Ancestry DNA. Mm-hmm. Now there's all of these companies like Life DNA, and you can upload your raw data and it'll tell you which nutrients you absorb better and which nutrients your body is a bit more resistant to.
Interesting. Cause I've been magnesium deficient since I can remember all my physicals.
Yep.
So I have to take like
B9 and calcium, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you gotta be careful. Cause was that osteoporosis? Is that calcium?
Yeah. But I work out a lot.
It's true.
They say that they used to think that vitamin D and calcium taking supplements was the best way to combat osteoporosis. And then they found all the vitamin D doesn't do shit in the supplement form. You have to actually be in the sun and get it from your diet.
Yeah.
And then the calcium, supplements help, but they found out what is much better is lifting weights and resistance.
I mean, that makes sense though.
Stronger muscles, stronger bones.
You're stronger your muscles to support the bone so you don't overuse.
That's exactly what it
diet.
Is. You strengthen the muscles and then it takes pressure off of the bones.
I just feel like, here, and I think all over the world, it's not just America, I just think the importance of a healthy diet and working out 3 to 5 days a week, the longevity, there's every study known to man that people live longer, they are healthier when they have a balanced diet and they work out. But it's just so hard to get people to do that.
Yeah. And I think that when people think workout, they think I have to drive to a fancy gym. Yeah. I've got to have my heart rate in the 165 zone for an hour. And then I got to get home and shower. Because some people look at the gym and working out as this 3-hour process. And it can be.
I mean, if that's your,
if you want,
if you're a professional athlete.
You could also exercise for 15 to 20 minutes at home and just break a quick sweat. And then make sure that you're trying to take the stairs or walk when you can. Your workout doesn't have to be crazy.
No, and I do think that's a bit of a misnomer. Like people believe what's a workout is a workout for you. And I tell people all the time, my workout may not be for you. Your level of fitness, my level of fitness. But I do believe at your level of fitness, you can do any workout. There's like plethora of things. I see this guy every morning taking my daughter to school. There's a Tai Chi clinic where we live. And it's like 6 of them out in the morning. And they're just moving slow. But I bet their heart rate's up. They're breathing, they're moving with intention and they're breathing and they just look like my daughter's always like, they're moving through mud. I'm like, it looks like it.
It does.
But
the patience for it.
I think that's more like when you're 60.
You gotta do you have to do what you can do. One of the best things that you can do, any human, is just walk. Because walking lowers your cortisol.
Yes.
And it does burn calories, but it is not going to stress your body out and make you rebound and go, oh my God, I'm starving. I need a milkshake. We've had that happen where you go do an insane workout and you kind of undo it because you're so fucking hungry.
Right.
That you are like, I want the burger. liked. Milkshake and the truffle tots or like whatever.
Yeah.
You are so hungry after and then you're full and uncomfortable and then your blood, your body's like, what's happening here?
Well, you just stress yourself out. Yeah. Yeah.
Your blood sugar.
I do electrolyte before I work out and I always have fruit before I work out because you just need energy. Like I feel like, and I also eat in the morning.
Well, this has vitamin C, potassium, sodium.
Yep. And the antioxidants in the vitamin C in the OJ helps protect against oxidative stress and boost the immune system. So I do think orange juice gets, you know, it's like an old school 1950s I Love Lucy episode when she's squeezing the fresh orange juice for Ricky. But like it actually works. And this is fresh squeezed orange juice, by the way. And we used also Caracara oranges, which is
Caracara.
They're the sweet. I think they're grown here in California and they're the sweetest of the oranges. And I thought that would be nice to kind of add to, you know, a little bit of that like seasonal orange, even though we have tons of oranges here in California.
Well, I know. I feel like there's such a variety of oranges. We have in my backyard, we have one called bitter orange.
Oh, never heard of that.
I know. I hadn't until our gardener hadn't put little.
But they're signs. Not bitter. But they're not bitter.
I think they're just more bitter, less sweet compared to your standard navel oranges. I think which I use them for cocktails because I don't like a sweet cocktail anyway.
Right.
And you're still getting that orange essence and that citrus. It's just not as sweet.
Mm.
It's not bitter. It's just not as sweet.
Oh, I mean, there's like different varieties. I do think the coconut water in this makes this taste fresher. It just wakes it up a bit.
I think it keeps it light. Because if we were going to do just the coconut cream, I think that it could get into that really heavy pina colada territory where you can only have one.
Yeah.
I think the point of an adrenal cocktail with the hydration and everything is it's hydrating.
Yeah.
Right? Like you want to keep it light. You can't. Yeah. It shouldn't be difficult to get it down.
I can't wait for our guest to come on because I'm going to ask her about my 4 a.m. wake-ups. Because my hormone lady was basically like, that is your adrenals. And most women... She said, not men, which is so interesting.
No, because our hormones are so testosterone much puts more complex.
Hi,
Sarah Kleiner.
Hello.
Sarah Kleiner Wellness is joining us on Team Tequila Talk.
Yes, I am so excited. Welcome.
I think Sherry.
Thank you for having me.
Is even more excited to have you.
I am. I love it. I love it.
We've had a ton of people, you know, here at Team Tequila Talks, we are all about balance and healthy recoveries. And like, yes, it's not realistic to say you're never going to have a margarita or go out with your friends, but how can we drink smarter, right? Like, how can we be replenishing our electrolytes, our hydration? We're having this adrenal cocktail situation right now, which is a blend of orange juice and coconut and a little cream of tartar for some potassium,
collagen powder and sea salt.
Yeah.
Nice.
So nice. We've done a lot of episodes recently where people want to know about the hormone side of things, especially as women. And what we were just saying is that women's hormones are so much more complex. And men can just like sleep through the night. And if they wake up, it was probably because like there was a dog howling.
Right.
Whereas we wake up and sometimes if your hormones are out of whack, you might wake up at 3 a.m. in a panic or having to fake pee.
Yeah.
Or your cortisol is spiraling. And then that messes with your progesterone, which messes with your estrogen, which messes with your insulin.
It's a lot. And depending on your age, it's just a lot. So wait, well, first of all, tell our guests what it is that you do. Let Sarah tell you what she does.
Well, thanks again for having me. I am a quantum health coach and I study circadian biology. So really everything I do is based around circadian biology and quantum physics and implementing those strategies for my clients. And, you know, we think about circadian health as kind of off the beaten path kind of way of looking at health, but that's the lens that I look at everyone's health through. Because when your circadian health is where it needs to be, you're able to influence cortisol and melatonin, which you mentioned, the cortisol. Those are two master hormones. And if those are out of whack, they're going to influence all the downstream hormones. So with my female clients, I have them, whether you're premenopause, perimenopause, or menopause, before they go spend a ton of money on Dutch testing and functional testing, I'm sure you guys are familiar with like
Yeah. So functional Dutch testing, for people who don't know, is when I think you can get it on Amazon.
Yeah.
You can get it, you know, you can buy the packet online via Amazon or elsewhere. And you take an at-home test, or you can go to a doctor's office and then you send it in, and it basically gives you a snapshot of your hormones. But it can get really expensive, because when you take that test, it's only the snapshot at that moment.
I know, but is it before your period or after your period? Exactly, like, you know, point. Where you are in your cycle? Yeah.
It can change. So that's a tough one. Well, and it can get really expensive.
The Dutch is actually a different, because blood tests will do that. So blood, you have to kind of do specific days, specific times for specific hormones. The Dutch is like a dried urine test that it'll tell you kind of what's going on in the span of your entire cycle. So if I do have, and it is really expensive to do, and you have to have a functional practitioner that can read it and help you diagnose it. So if I'm going to have anyone do any hormone testing, I'm always going to do the Dutch. But before we do that, I'm like, we have to get your cortisol and melatonin patterns, and we have to look at your leptin levels. So those are three master hormones that are going to influence all your sex hormones and your thyroid hormones and your appetite. So I have people do some kind of, you know, what seems like crazy things, like look at the sun, go outside.
We've now gotten to a place where it's like,
why is the person standing in the sun? Should they be going somewhere?
Well, now at a place where it's like, oh, your health is off. Go outside. Get some sunlight. Like, that shouldn't be this alternative medicine.
Yeah.
Well, and I was that way too when I first started working with a practitioner about 4 years ago to kind of fix a lot of my hormonal problems. I was like 39. I had put on a bunch of weight. I'm like, okay, boom, here, I'm in perimenopause. I've put on this weight. What the heck do I do? And she's like, I need you. She gave me a circadian routine. And I was like, well, that's freaking dumb. I'm like, I'm not doing that. What's the diet you want me to follow? I'll do the diet. Right. So I did the diet. I was having some results, but then I was still getting stuck and things were not moving and things were not changing. Right. And I kept on tweaking the diet and playing with the diet, and I was just getting exhausted. And then fast forward to, I decided that I wanted to get pregnant at 41, which is a little crazy. But to get pregnant, your hormones have to be on point. You know, to get pregnant and stay pregnant, your hormones have to be on point. And so this is what kind of made me dive down this rabbit hole, because I probably spent over $100,000 on the functional testing, functional practitioners, you name it, I did it. And nothing was working until I actually got down the rabbit hole of circadian medicine and quantum biology. That's and so I quit all the supplements, I quit all the testing, and I started following these routines and was pregnant in January of 2022. My son is 4.5 months old now, and I had him at age 43 with no interventions, nothing.
Well, first of all, congratulations. Yeah. And you know, me and Cassandra, we love our doctors, but we also question our doctors. And I don't think that there's anything wrong when you've done a little research on the side about your own body or you're feeling off to be like, you know, taking your health in your own hands. It sounds so wrong, especially with the way the world is now. But I come with notes to my doc, to my OBGYN appointments, 100%.
Oh, yeah.
I track my sleep. Like, why am I waking up every day at 4 a.m. and I'm not even drinking?
I also think that there's a really good blend between Eastern and Western medicine, because people used to die from like bladder infections, right? And now we have the science to help with that. And do I love going on antibiotics? No. Do you sometimes have to do it? Like, yeah,
right.
It is what it is. But I would say that traditional Western doctors aren't going to do anything for you until something's really wrong. They're problem solvers.
It's all acute. It's like, I can save your life. You're not going to die. We're going to help you unclog this artery. We're going to take you so that you don't die.
Right.
Right. Essentially. But there's no preventative care.
There's no wellness care.
Yeah. Right. And for women and fertility, which is, I didn't know what a huge crisis it was. I kind of had heard a lot of buzz about it. But when I started going through my own fertility battles and having miscarriages and doing IVF and not having it work and, you know, all of that heartbreak, I was really diving into this world of like women's health and women's hormones and women's fertility, and just seeing how literally jacked up it was, and how women are being gaslighted, and they're getting supplements and testing and supplements and testing, or medication, and no one's getting the results that they want to get. People aren't getting pregnant. Their hormones are getting worse. And it's a huge frustration and pain point for a lot of women. And so, you know, just kind of the pain and everything that I went through has made me change the way that I talk to women, look at women, and men too. I mean, men, this can influence their hormones greatly as well. But I'm more focused on, you know, how can I help women, especially women who want to conceive, right, of all ages, because it's not just women in their 40s, right? That's a lot harder to get pregnant in your 40s than your 20s. But when I started this rabbit hole of like looking at infertility and the women that were being affected, there's just as many women in their 20s as there are in their 40s now. And it's actually one of the doctors I spoke with, who is a fertility doctor. She says it's actually your grandmother at 35 was more fertile than most women are now at age 22.
I've heard this, and I have a family member who works at an IVF clinic. And mm-hmm. she was saying in the last 10 years, like, I guess they were reading a journal, the amount of 20 somethings where mm-hmm. you never care about them when they're pregnant, you know, they deliver healthy babies 99.9% of the time. And I said, what do you think it is? She was like, well, now they have a study about the use of birth control past the 10 year mark.
Huge.
Past mm-hmm. the 10 years. You're supposed to only be on birth control for 10 years.
It's a massive endocrine disruptor.
Yeah.
It messes up huge. Your whole body. And the thing is like, you want to not get pregnant. And this is like, we had a plastic surgeon on recently, and he was saying that even as doctors, we're doing trial and error. We come up with something new that we think is yeah. going to be the thing. And it's, and then you troubleshoot it, you tweak it, you fine tune it, and you go, great, problem solved. And then on the B side of it, you get to the end of the cycle and you see all the problems that are happening because of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I wish I could go back in time, I would say like non-hormonal birth control only, yeah. whether that's like a cup or an IUD, which I mean, because they make the non-hormonal IUDs as well.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
And in your 20s, you're like,
you're not getting pregnant. Yeah, yeah.
You just don't think about it. You're like, I don't care. I just don't want to get pregnant. I want to have fun.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. You're not thinking about the long-term effects of the hormones. And you think, I'm young, I'm resilient, my hormones will bounce back. And I feel like, for the most part, that's probably true.
Yeah.
But not 100% of the time.
Well, no, you're seeing these girls on birth control for 20 years, right? Like my cousin was telling me, she's like, we have patients who have been aware for 19, 18 years, mm-hmm. and they get it off it and they break out. They get cystic acne like they're 15. And these are women mm-hmm. in their 40s. And then she's like, yeah, let that cycle out. That's your body response. And then they have terrible periods, or they don't even have a period for 6 months until after they stop the birth control. Mm-hmm. Just to even get your body, you know, my grandmother say this thing, like your body has to start at go. And if you start, I'm allergic to hormones, so I've never been able to take birth control. And my grandmother was like, cause our bodies are just not, we go.
It's actually a good thing.
Yeah.
Can you be allergic or you're just like incredibly reactive?
I get reactive. I get blood clots. My granny did, my mom did, my sister did. So, and of course, in college, I did not want to get pregnant, had a boyfriend. So I was like, well, I'll just get the lowest dose. 0.5 of this dose called mm-hmm. of this, I don't know if it's still around, it's called Desogen. Went to the health center, got it. And, you know, you're kind of mortal when you're like, oh, I'm not going to die. What's the blood clot? And I was like in ballet class, and my calf was like swelling up by the minute. And she just knew, she took her like scarf, rushed to the ER. Ooh. Yeah. My grandmother was called, and the guy was like, what did you do? I'm like, I haven't done anything differently. I'm like, oh, I've been on birth control for 3 weeks. And he's like, nice. Had put a stent in it. Yeah. Oh, had to do on blood thinners. Wow. And my grandmother walks in. Yeah. And my grandmother's like, you think I'm joking? We cannot. And I think I'm reactive, like added hormones. And if you think about your 20s, I'm probably thriving with my hormones and I'm trying to stop a process that's
natural.
That's supernatural.
Birth control pills are a carcinogen. They stop the hormonal process. They cover up issues. They don't actually solve anything. And so like we were talking about medical care in this country, and I'm sure other countries as well, is like, we just don't want you to die. And so you've got 15 minutes with your provider, and you've got acne, you've got PCOS, you have all these issues, and the provider is just going to pass you the pill because it's easy prescription, you're done. But we're not looking at the long-term repercussions. And Ricky Lake did a great documentary on
birth control. Oh, I saw that, yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah,
that
was great.
Really eye opening. And because I have a 15-year-old daughter with special needs. And so that question is always posed to us. So do you want to put her on birth control? I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that to my daughter.
Yeah.
Like I would rather deal with, you know, all the other stuff and keep her away from the boys.
Right.
And we've all been in that space where whether you were pregnant or where you were on birth control, or maybe you're just having an aggressive cycle.
Right.
And you might go a little crazy or a little emotional or whatever, because when your hormones are going all over the place, you're going to feel it in your head and your heart.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so it's just one more thing that you think you might be fixing things, but you're actually, like you said, masking it.
Well, you're delaying the inevitable. If you've been on birth control since you were, let's say, 22 and you're 50 and you're peri or you're in menopause. And I've had family members and friends who stopped taking birth control at 50 and then wildfire, night sweats, all things got back on birth control to control the menopausal symptoms. And I was like, wait, your doctor told you? She's like, yeah. I'm like, that doesn't seem
like,
don't you just want to, I mean, I have, you know, I'm peri and I have friends who are going through a bunch of different things. And they're just like, no, they do all the Chinese medicine stuff and the pellets and this and that. And I'm just like, don't you want to, isn't the whole point of that is to finish this process off like correctly?
Right.
Like, I just feel like
let your body do its thing.
Let it do its thing. It's like let your body have a period. It's okay. Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, most of the medicine that we look at in our society is suppressive. Antibiotics, steroids, birth control. Like we're suppressing something that's underneath. And I think if we continue to suppress things over and over again, we never get to the root cause. And the problem is going to continue to manifest in other ways, right? It's going to come out as maybe a skin problem. A lot of people, it's a sleep problem. I mean, that's how the body works. And so, you know, I really love homeopathy as well for dealing with these types of things, because homeopathy is going to take you down to root and it's not going to suppress things. Which I know a lot of people the FDA is trying to get homeopathy outlawed right now, which is insane. Yeah.
Because I don't think they're not trying to ban it, but they're trying to make it to where you're not allowed to make claims. You probably know better than I do. They're trying to so heavily regulate it that it's ostensibly inaccessible.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, like, what is it? 60% of our economy is pharmaceuticals. And if that industry, I think that's very accurate.
Holy smokes.
Yeah. I'll Google, but I think that's accurate. And it's because you think of all the Americans who get around 40, mid 40s, 50s, and the diabetes, the heart disease. And those are just like popping pills. I mean, diabetes and heart disease is just a normal thing. Wow, people think it's normal. All, I'm 55. Oh, my blood sugar's off. I have to go to the doctor and get a pill.
Well, and that's all diet. And we are big nutrition advocates and enthusiasts here. And type 2 diabetes is fixable with diet and lifestyle. So I think that it's not just nutrition, but there's lifestyle factors. Like you're saying, like get out in the sun and watch your cortisol levels, pay attention. Like don't have coffee on an empty stomach if you're stressed out, if your cortisol is high, like use coffee selectively and time it with where you're at in your hormones. And I think that this is something that's really interesting for women, especially to kind of unlock the power of your hormones. If you're in the first half of your cycle, that's when you should be hitting the gym harder, right? Mm-hmm. If you're in the second half of your cycle, that's when you need to really rest and nurture yourself and recover to keep those cortisol levels down. And I think that shining a light on this hormone wellness is really going to make people check in with their bodies a bunch more and ask a lot of questions.
Yeah. I mean, we've got a circadian rhythm, a 24-hour-ish rhythm, right? That our cortisol is supposed to be in a specific pattern. Our melatonin is supposed to be in a specific pattern. Women, we have an infradian rhythm, and that's our 28-day cycle. And just because you stop bleeding, I always tell my menopausal ladies, you still have an infradian cycle. And so I have my women that are in menopause that don't have the cycle anymore to still time it by the moon of their activities, their exercise, you know, their diet and different little interventions that we do. If they're going to do any kind of cold therapy or sauna therapy, we have to take that 28-day cycle into account. So again, like you said, women that do have a cycle, the first 10 days is when we have more estrogen. So we should do more weightlifting. We could do a little bit more intermittent fasting if we want to do it. I still like it on a circadian. So you're doing breakfast and maybe skipping dinner those first 10 days, but then ovulation and then the time, you know, before your cycle, that week before your cycle, you got to be a little more gentle with yourself. And so I tell my menopausal ladies, like, let's look at it as you're still on a 28-day cycle, but let's say that the new moon is bleed. And then the full moon is ovulation. So you just pay attention to the moon and treat your body as though you're still having that cycle. And I've had a lot of help with my menopausal ladies that aren't necessarily having the cycle, kind of timing their activities and their diet and things like that as well.
I would imagine that helps a lot with symptoms.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And the cool thing about this circadian lifestyle, you know, it's really simple. It doesn't take hours upon end. Like I'm sitting outside right now just because I try to go outside as often as I possibly can. But I have a ton of women that, you know, when they start working with me, I'm like, I need you outside at sunrise. I don't care if it's only 2 minutes. I need your eyes seeing sunrise before you look at a phone screen, before you look at anything else, because that's going to signal your body. First of all, it's going to turn off the melatonin production. Our melatonin is supposed to cycle, turn into tryptophan and turn into serotonin. You make your serotonin is going to turn into melatonin for that night. You're going to actually improve your melatonin production by going out for morning light every single day. And you're going to improve your cortisol pattern, because when you get natural sunlight in your eyes in the morning, first thing, instead of a screen, that's going to signal your brain to stop melatonin and start gradually making cortisol in a natural, gradual way. And then in UVA light, which is right after sunrise, we make pregnenolone, we make thyroid hormone. Again, there's neurotransmitters, dopamine, serotonin. I mean, that's what the 24-hour circadian clock is turned on by light. And what most people do is they roll over and look at their phone. The light signal from your phone tells your brain, it is summer solstice and it's June. Boom, make that much cortisol, please. Please make that much cortisol. And so people are starting their day off by doing that. And so the crazy thing that happens with a lot of women that I work with, just by having them do morning light, maybe they can only get 5 minutes of sunrise and 5 minutes of UVA, fine. But a lot of them will, hey, my cycle changed this month. When'd you get it? Last Thursday. Guess what last Thursday was? That was the new moon, right? And right. So a lot of women, their cycle will shift and sync up with the moon because their eyes are getting the signal of what time of day it is, what time of year it is, and our bodies want to sync up. Like we lived outdoors under the sun, connected to the earth. That's how we evolved.
Well, but and we sync up with other women anymore. Sometimes too.
Yeah,
right?
You do.
And that's probably going back to the caveman and woman days where you were outside, you were sleeping under the stars or spending time out in the sun.
Right.
So everybody was syncing together because they were syncing with Mother Earth and the universe.
I think what's interesting is you talk about circadian rhythms. I have never did as much research until I had my daughter on circadian rhythms to get her to nap by the window. And I brought this book to be like, okay, she thinks it's dark when it's like, when it's, she thought it was light when it was dark.
Switch the patterns.
So I had to, and I would move her little like bassinet by the window in the morning. So then I would open the blinds, like time to get up and then make the room really dark. So I just think it's funny how women, I'll do that for a baby.
But you forget to do it for yourself.
But you forget to do it for yourself.
Yeah.
Right.
It's crazy.
Well, I don't think people understand the power of just the morning light. I think people really don't know, like that's how that cycle of hormones actually starts. That's where it's supposed to begin. It begins with the eye. Dr. Jack Cruz is actually who I met in the middle of my fertility journey. I interviewed him for my podcast. Thinking that we were going to talk about diet or no, he flipped me completely into this world of circadian health and quantum physics. I mean, he's the catalyst that shifted everything for me because I was in the middle of IVF. It wasn't working. I had just sunk $50,000 into this whole IVF cycle thing. Didn't work. Devastated. And talk with Dr. Cruz. And he's like, you realize your hormones are not going to be balanced until you fix your relationship with light. And I was like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. But at this point, with where we are, I'll try anything.
Well, and all the hormones are synced up and some hormones are going to work directly with other hormones, but they all work in symphony together, right? And you do a lot of work on leptin, which I think is an interesting one because almost everyone has heard of insulin.
Yes.
Not as many people have heard of leptin or ghrelin. Did I say that right? Ghrelin.
Ghrelin.
Which is the hormone that makes you hungry and tells your body when you are hungry, hey, it's time to eat. Don't forget to eat or you're going to starve to death. If you didn't have that hormone, you know, in this day and age, we probably wouldn't starve to death.
That is
something that said, don't forget to eat so you can fuel your body.
Right.
And leptin, I understand, is a foundational hormone and is directly tied with with insulin, but people don't really talk about it.
No, they don't.
What is it?
It was discovered in 1994, and Dr. Cruz, again, is the one who turned me on to it. He's done some amazing work on leptin. If you go on his blog, I mean, if you have to kind of really read it about 10 times to get it, you really have to study what he says because he's a neurosurgeon and it's a lot. So I've tried to take a lot of his work and interpret it for my clients and myself. But when I was having trouble getting pregnant, he said, what's your leptin levels? And I'm like, I could tell you my progesterone, testosterone, estrogen, estradiol, FSH, LH. I could list off what my numbers were. And he's like, I don't care, because leptin influences all of these other downstream sex hormones. If your leptin is too low or it's too high, your sex hormones are going to be a disaster. Your thyroid's not going to work properly, and you're going to be insulin resistant or have some issue with insulin. So leptin also signals insulin. It's cortisol, melatonin, leptin. Those are three master circadian hormones that influence all these other downstream hormones. And leptin is supposed to dock to the hypothalamus at night when you sleep, right? And it's supposed to give a download of, this is how much stored energy is on her body. So tomorrow I need you to have this much energy output. And then also your appetite should be X so we can get her to a healthy body weight, right? So your body is like this beautiful self-correcting. It always wants to be in balance. It always wants to be correct. But if your circadian rhythms are jacked up, and let's say you're not sleeping during that optimal time when leptin's supposed to dock to the hypothalamus between midnight or so, give or take, depending on the person, if that download of information is not happening, that's going to influence your thyroid, right? It can really mess with your T3 levels. That's going to be your metabolism. So you may downregulate your energy without even meaning to. Take a blood test, your T3 is low or your reverse T3 is really high. That's a really huge correlation with leptin. And then your appetite's going to be all jacked up as well, because that download of information is simply not happening. And so the first thing that I have people do when they want to work on leptin is we have to work on your circadian health. You got to get the morning light. You got to block blue light at night, because blue light at night, if you go into Google and type in blue light at night or artificial light at night and obesity, studies, artificial light at night and diabetes studies, artificial light at night and Alzheimer's, depression, anxiety. I mean, the list of health issues goes on and on and on. We look at artificial light at night and how it disrupts the body. But what do most people do? They lay in bed with the phone screen until they fall asleep, or they're watching TV.
TV and put blue light glasses on, because those are a thing now. Yeah. I feel like those are becoming more and more popular, and they look kind of like the old school
Oakley. Blue blockers or something.
Yeah, they look like kind of
they
sporty.
Have nice ones. Raw Optics is the brand that I love. I love Raw Optics. And there's a guy I'm actually friends with, kind of met him through the quantum community, and he can make a blue blocking screen for your whole TV in case you have like kids. Yeah. I have a yellow one and I have a red. My husband's like, do not put that freaking red one on our TV. He hates it,
but it changes the color. It changes the color of the games.
Right, exactly. And he's got his expensive TV for football watching, but we will put the screen on because my daughter won't wear the glasses. Obviously the baby's not gonna wear glasses. He's 4 months old.
Right.
And it will help to block that light out. It absolutely will help, because there have been studies done on, again, blue blockers and, what happens when you're exposed to that blue light after sunset is a cortisol rise, right? So cortisol opposes melatonin. And if you can't make melatonin, you can't sleep and you can't repair. When we make melatonin, our body is supposed to have autophagy and apoptosis, which is like cell death and cell repair. Mm-hmm. So our body is supposed
to
have this
for yourself.
Yeah. Right. Your body is supposed to clean and rejuvenate itself when you sleep. But if you have artificial light at night going, cortisol is going to come in, melatonin is not going to come in, and those repair processes aren't going to happen. And then leptin is not going to have that the download to the hypothalamus, right?
Wow.
So that's just basic level. I mean, there's deeper levels to this, but that's like a basic level look at, yes, our diets suck. Like, and there's, I just came out with a nutrition course today to kind of talk about the circannual and circadian nature of food and how to implement that, because that's a whole other topic. Food is just light code, right? What grows our food light. So understanding how to manipulate that for your body. But the light thing is just a piece people are not willing to really look at, or they're just like, that's dumb, right?
Right.
Because yes, big pharma is huge and makes a lot of money, but what makes probably more money than big pharma? Big tech.
Technology.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
There's a bunch of different symptoms with a bunch of different hormones, right? We've mentioned just today, your appetite, your sleep, mm-hmm. and your mm-hmm. fertility, and just mm-hmm. overall circadian and health and wellness. And there's probably a lot of people going, this sounds really overwhelming. Where do I start? So I would say that your Instagram is very helpful. So follow Sarah Kleiner Wellness, correct? Sarah Kleiner Wellness mm-hmm. is the handle.
All one word. Yeah.
Right. And I find it really helpful for people because it's like, listen, yes, you can go get your blood checked and maybe you should if your symptoms are extreme. But if you're just noticing maybe you're at the beginning of having some hormonal imbalances, you can do free and easy things like get out into the sun in the morning and hope, mm-hmm. or if you can't do that, open a window, right? Get some fresh air and some fresh sunlight.
No,
yeah, right. Open, no like, open. You can wait until you've had food to have your coffee if you were having cortisol problems or stress or in the second half of your cycle, right? If you're going to intermittent fast, again, free.
Skip dinner.
here's how you can do it.
So you say skip dinner.
As opposed to breakfast.
Mm-hmm. As opposed to breakfast.
I love dinner. I can leave breakfast.
For the last like 6 to 7 months, I stopped intermittent fasting because what I did in my 30s, I can no longer do now. Yep. And I'll tell you, I've gained muscle that I had lost back by having egg, protein, toast, a little fruit. And at first I was like, it's a lot of food. Like to have at mm-hmm. nine before, she told me before 10 a.m. And I was like, mm-hmm. no, I like my coffee. And then I pitter patter around and then I go for the food at like noon or one. And she's like, this is why you're tired. This is the like cortisol, all these, all these host of problems. But then you're saying dinner. And so a lot of the times I am not hungry at 6:15, 7:15. I force myself to eat because I'm like, well, I don't want to wake up at 11 o'clock with like hunger pains.
Right.
So I eat like a light. My dinners have become way lighter than what they used to be. It's so interesting. Yep.
Yeah. And a lot of people are scared to eat the breakfast like you. They're like, it's too much food. I'm going to be hungry all day. I'm going to gain weight.
Or I'm not hungry yet. So why am I eating?
Right.
Right.
Should that's I a big force one feed too. Myself?
Yeah.
I'm like, if you're not hungry in the morning, that is a sign that your cortisol is too high. For most people, not everyone. I mean, there's these super, you know, insulin sensitive people that like stay outdoors all day and have a ton of muscle and, you know, look fabulous and, you know, real insulin and leptin sensitive. Cool. The average person is not leptin sensitive, is not insulin sensitive. It's like 88% of people are metabolically unhealthy. So they're going to fall into this category. If you wake up and you're not hungry and you have extra weight to lose and hormonal imbalances, that typically means your cortisol is too high. Mm. And so simple things you can do, get a couple minutes, just even if you just poke your head out the window for 2 minutes, right? For sunrise, which is when the sun is between 0 and 10 degrees. And then another couple of minutes at UVA, which is when the sun is between 10 and 30 degrees. And you can use the D-Minder app to figure out when those times are for you, because it's different for everyone. And it changes a little bit every day. Yeah, it changes a little bit every day because the sun's going to rise at like 6:30 in the morning in the summer and not till like 8 a.m. in the winter. Right. So it's going to
change. Well, it also depends if you're in Canada or Mexico.
I don't.
Exactly. Yeah. My Canadian people are like, I am not getting up at 4 a.m. I'm like,
Well, the opposite of that. I mean, we lived in Canada for a while and sometimes the sun doesn't come up till 8:30
and it doesn't go down.
Right. That's the winter.
So it's really hard to get that sunlight. Yeah. It's just not accessible. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, even if it's overcast and cloudy, you're still getting the signal.
Really? Oh, okay. Perfect.
Yeah, all that signal still comes through. So don't worry about cloudy, rainy, overcast, any of that stuff, trees, buildings, any of that stuff. All you had to do is go outside. It's the simplest thing in the world.
Perfect.
The sun, she's a powerful being.
Oh, what a beast.
Sarah Kleiner, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Everybody check out Sarah Kleiner Wellness. And she's got an Instagram, she's got a website, and she will help you get to the bottom of those funky hormones.
Yes, and we're going to connect you and all her things, all her ads, all her podcast, her website, all the things.
All the ads.
Yes.
All right. Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you so much. That was wonderful.
We'll catch you guys next time on Team Tequila Talks.
Bye.
Escape to Ocean City, Maryland, and discover a place that just feels lighter, where every day feels like Saturday and French fries are a food group, where flip-flops are always in fashion and seafood is always in season, where the boardwalk is bustling and the beach is right outside your door, where you can rise with the tide and feel like a kid again. Ocean City, Maryland, somewhere to smile about. Book your trip at OCOcean.com.
Hey there, Brenda.
It's Carol.
Exactly. So which leg are we operating on?
You mean arm?
It's all connected.
Asking the right question can greatly impact your future.
Are you sure you're an orthopedist?
Actually, I'm a Sagittarius.
Especially when it comes to your finances.
Do you have a question?
Are you a certified financial planner?
Yes, I'm a CFP professional.
CFP professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's gotta be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.